Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Like the question that Sam asked right before we started recording, which is claymation cool? That's the kind of question I need to answer instead of hanging out with my family.
you can't answer that question in front of your family. They will
a lot of people don't know this, but Jared's family is Ray Harryhausen and the guy who did Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah,
everybody from Leica Studios.
Real sensitive.
Perhaps you've met my wife, Wallace and Gromit.
The Strange Pants. What was that movie called? Remember that?
The Wrong Pants.
That's right. Big automatic pants on Wallace.
Pardon me.
Or Gromit.
Oh man. I don't like British humor most of the time because it's like,
but you love Wallace and Gromit.
It's like, what if your trousers had a mind of their own? It's like, I've seen comedy. Stop it.
Look,
stop
maybe you don't
do this.
Maybe you don't get it. Okay. Are you wearing pants?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's part of the problem.
Sam doesn't like that they call them trousers.
Yeah. That seems to be half the joke, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Sam doesn't like jokes with pleats in them.
That
yeah.
Trousers is a funny word.
Yeah.
That's why they're so good at it. It's so understated. They don't go to the trouble of making an entire joke. They just say shrubbery.
The problem is with me. I'm too stupid. State it. I don't want it understated. Give me the state.
This is my example of a joke from a British. This is my example of British humor. Would you care for a custard? There, you. That's the joke.
it's so good.
A custard? What? It's hilarious. And I didn't even have to write a whole joke. I just called it a custard.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, welcome to Fight Island, the podcast about fictional fights in the very real island where they take place. My name is Jordan Dahl.
And I'm Sam Wiles.
And joining us today, the very continental, Jared Logan is here.
Is claymation cool or lame? Sound off!
That should be your new character, which is like Joe Rogan style, or like a morning zoo guy that's like really aggro, but just about very like fancy lad shit.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, wait, I'm trying to think of another version.
Now, despite what we've been talking about, we're not fighting claymation characters. We're not fighting old MTV shows. We're not...
morning zoo radio guys
who want to know
if you like pajama pants.
Should parents leave a trail of M&Ms to the Easter basket? Sound off.
Where would the Easter bunny get name brand candy, frankly?
Yeah, his problem is continuity.
That was honestly when I was a kid, like figuring out, like solving the Santa mystery. That was a big problem for me. I was like, if Santa built it, what is he fucking outsourcing to Sony? This is Sony right on it.
Absolutely.
How does he get a Nintendo?
That was always a weird thing. You got all these brand name toys and you were like, I guess Santa buys these. I could have bought them.
I could have bought them.
Why
Santa?
Is he going into the trouble?
He's just kind of a service. He's kind of a delivery
service.
Does he
see the same commercials I do? This is insane. He's watching
and now
an
today,
RC car commercial.
And now today, this Santa must just like kind of get on Amazon for you, you know?
Sure. Okay, done. Just fucking
great company.
Send.
That's we're not a great company, Santas Amazon. Either.
And the the answer is, of course, Santa does build them all, and we solved it. He builds them all, and it's magic.
I just mean like the stuff comes to you so fast, and there's like no downside with Amazon. Yeah. And they're going to build one in my town, and I can't wait for them to build one.
Jared's being handed $10 million.
Yep.
Joe Manchin.
This is crazy.
We love him.
We're not fighting Joe's Mansions. We're not fighting Santa Clauses. We're fighting a versus match. It's Fright Island, y'all. This is the first episode, a very spooky, a shroud of darkness, a pall of terror sweeps over the island.
And if you listen to the Patreon, we dipped our toe in last week.
We dipped a toe in. We fought some classic Halloween costumes from 2014.
Yeah. We fought what would you be dressed as in the Halloween 2016?
And yeah, it
was,
yeah.
One of them was Ken Bone.
It was Ken Bone.
Oh,
and
God.
It was horrifying. Yeah. But today we're doing a versus match, which we do every so often. I think all of the Fright Islands this year are going to be versus matches. So we're going to be doing a lightweight for any. Logan Heads just joining us. Jared, do you have a name for your acolytes?
Yeah, they're called log jammers.
Okay, for any log jammers just joining us, this is the way that the podcast got. Yeah, this is the way the podcast goes down. We're gonna play a big game of who would win in a fight between. It's three rounds: lightweight, middleweight, and heavyweight bout. We're going to talk about who's in each round, strengths and weaknesses. Ultimately, each of us will be asked to vote on who we think wins each round. It is video game rules, so old people can fight gay people, men can fight women, dogs can fight babies, whatever needs to happen in order for the island to taste the justice that it so craves. So, lightweight, we're going to fight classic universal monsters versus your classic batch of movie slashers. Now, I think you can get a little exotic with movie slashers, especially here in the lightweight round, because like I'm going to go ahead and throw out a lightweight slasher that's probably going to get shot down immediately.
Okay.
Have some self-esteem.
Pumpkinhead.
No, that's not a slasher,
God
you
damn
idiot!
It. Oh, no!
In all fairness, Pumpkinhead is not a slasher.
Kind of a creature, but does some slashing, right? And it's a slasher movie.
A creature, by definition, does not slash, Jordan. And I know this is your podcast.
Right. Creatures. No, you're right. No, you're right. I need this.
I guess I'm going to have to give a brief lecture on the history and mise-en-scene of the slasher film. A slasher film always has a human antagonist.
Okay.
And that antagonist is always... just a person that is murdering people. That's the one thing about a slasher that has to be true. Mm-hmm. So even though Michael Myers seems sort of supernatural, he counts as a slasher because he's just a crazy dude.
Well, Freddy
Krueger's on the line. And if you brought Freddy Krueger out, I'd say, he's on the line because at least he started as a person. But you bring me Pumpkinhead?
I think
I'm walking out of the interview.
I think the human connection is important. You're right. And this was all a happening to teach our listeners the importance of the difference between a creature and a slasher. Good job, Jared. You played your role exactly.
It's why he sent his family away so he could get to the lecture.
Aren't I a great guest that comes in and tells you how to do your podcast?
No, you're doing a good job.
The best guest is the one that talks the entire time and we don't say anything.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So Pumpkinhead versus who?
Well, it's Pumpkinhead. You know what? A slasher walks in and kills Pumpkinhead. And that slasher could be. Well, it could be. I mean, it could be Michael Myers. Okay. It could be Jason Voorhees. I would count
these
Jason
heavyweights. These are heavy.
I've got a lightweight slasher for you.
Go ahead.
Okay.
From arguably my favorite horror movie, Billy Loomis from Scream. That's a lightweight slasher.
Right. That's a lightweight slasher. That's really good.
Yeah.
Billy Loomis as portrayed by Skeet Ulrich, right?
Yeah, correct.
Sure.
Yeah,
Skeet. Man named Skeet.
Yeah, one of many famous Skeets.
Now.
Yes.
I'm going to save him for middleweight because I think that's probably
what
that's really what I have an idea for a slasher that I'm going to save for middleweight.
Oh,
I thought you meant thought you meant Skeet Ulrich is a middleweight.
No. Skeet Ulrich is a perfect lightweight. You did that guy.
Like I would even go like Billy Loomis is perfect. Billy Loomis is perfect.
He's perfect, which is why
you could even go Fatal Attraction, Faye Dunaway. You know what I mean?
Slash
him. Yeah, that's a slasher.
Slash him.
You know? You could go so many ways, but I think yeah, Billy mm-hmm. Loomis, that's a good slasher. But what classic Universal or other movie studio monster do we put him up against in the lightweight category?
So a problem I think we're going to encounter is that the Universal movie monsters are much more like all on the same level, where slashers, there's clear kind of demarcations of class. Where I think like Universal movie monsters, I want the lightest weight one I can like think of is like Bride of Frankenstein.
Sure.
Instead of like regular Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah. She was fully like a spinoff.
Yeah. She has like electricity powers. I've admittedly not seen Frankenstein.
And I know I'm gonna piss off some Invisible Man heads out there, but the Invisible Man, kind of lightweight.
Also, like I also think lightweight. Yeah.
The Invisible Man, yeah, because he's just a dude and he has a very specific power, which he doesn't even use for most of the movie. He walks around looking like a mummy. Hey, buddy, are you a mummy or an invisible man? Make up your mind, you know?
That's a bit of a character design flaw. Mm-hmm. They were like, yeah, what should he look like? It's like if they're one step away from putting him in a Dracula outfit. Like,
how would you redesign the Invisible Man?
Well, they did it well. Did you see the new one?
They made him Kevin Bacon.
No, not Hollow Man from 1990X.
The 2021 is kick-ass. It's really good.
The 2020 Invisible Man was really good. Nice. He had like a digital suit with all these like little cameras all over it that like reflect light and shit.
Whoa.
He looked cool.
Yeah. That's a great movie.
He looked cool.
That is cool.
When lockdown started, that was like our first venture out of the house was to go to the drive-in movie and see Invisible Man. And I was like, all right, cool. Only 3 more weeks of this. And then now I'm like, oh, whoops.
I'm just going to name some other slashers just so we're clear on what a slasher is. Norman Bates from Psycho. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah. But then this list has Candyman. False! Not a slasher.
Candyman
He's a
is
ghost
a slasher.
Urban legend. Ghost? No, he is a ghost slash urban legend.
Okay, then let me ask you this.
The miner from My Bloody Valentine, that counts. That's just a guy in a suit that kills people with a pickaxe. Pinhead. No, he's a Cenobite. This list is bullshit.
See, this is the
Pennywise,
thing.
Not a slasher.
Here's the thing. Pinhead, I count in the slasher category. Freddy, absolutely a slasher.
Wait, why would
Candyman,
you count Pinhead as a slasher?
Because
he
a
is a horror character. It is not a slasher film. Very nerdy, but slasher films are a subgenre of horror film.
No, this is important because they're going to come after us.
I get where Jordan's coming from because it is the amount of violence perpetrated and the way it happens, I guess, is like feels like a slasher.
Saying that a film is a slasher film just because it's gory and modern doesn't quite
involving blades.
No, I involve. I think it's the slashing that does it.
So
for me.
if you want to change literal, if you want to change your Fight Island category today to modern horror monsters versus classic horror monsters, well then Pinhead can come right on in and party.
Hey, listen, but if nobody's trying to change the category, sir. Get down off the table, sir.
Jared's shirt is off, which I think we need to tell the listener.
I have my shirt off.
You've made your point.
And you can see where I've scarred the different ideas I'm talking about into my flesh.
Your body is a roadmap of pain, yes.
With a hot ink pen. But you guys get what I'm saying, right? Or are you still understand?
I'm very
you're making sense.
Okay, Leatherface, that's a slasher. That's a great one.
Sure.
Leatherface. Yeah, but and Freddy Krueger, I mean, I might let in on a technicality, even though he is like technically a dream ghost.
Yeah.
who is the slasher from I Know What
You
Really
Should
Have Done
Some Research on This, Sam.
That's a great question. He's in a
hook,
like a
Hook Man, Hook Dad. What is his shit?
Hook Father is his name. Captain Hook.
Here, I'm looking it up. Willis is his name, but he's got a big hook. That's a slasher.
He does have a hook. Mm. But Candyman has a hook too. He slashes. The leprechaun slashes.
Don't do this. Don't do this.
Remember the leprechaun?
A slasher villain can't like go like, I have such sights to show you, and then reveal a phantasmagoric tableau of torture beyond the grave. That is not what a slasher takes a rake and puts it through your chest. That's what, sure. And they're yeah. a person. They're a person, mm-hmm. God damn it. They're not like a special ghost.
20 right. years ago.
Except yes. for Jason and Freddy.
I know you okay. caused my divorce in 2010. That's a sequel I wrote to I Know What You Did Last Summer that hasn't nobody wanted to do it. I know that you caused my divorce in 2010.
Okay, so are we going with the Invisible Man, or are we gonna dig a little deeper? Because there are some fucking D-list ass.
Well, it's a pretty good match because Invisible Man, other than being invisible, doesn't have a ton going for him.
Okay.
Like, he seems pretty lightweight. But I'm trying to think what else is like a lightweight, like
the Mole Man, Mole People is technically a classic universal. It's under the umbrella. Okay. There's also the Phantom. They try to pass off. I think
the Phantom of the often. Opera.
Phantom is a good. No.
He counts.
Like
he counts.
He does count, but he is definitely the one that it's like, oh, so you're kind of just a guy who lives at the opera.
Well, Jordan. He's a little more than that.
Oh, God.
He's almost a slasher.
He's a perfect slasher.
He's a bit of a slasher, Sam.
He's all disfigured by a fire. I mean, that's fucking scary.
Jeez.
And then, like, he's obsessed with, like, music, and he wants this one girl to be the star, and if she's not, he'll just kill every other star until she gets the role. That's a pretty cool motivation.
Does this make him the most heavyweight of the monsters in this fight because he's both a slasher and a universal monster?
Oh, wow.
He is a kind of a slasher, isn't he? He's a little bit of a slasher. You know, I have the original silent Phantom of the Opera with Lon Chaney Sr. And I've watched it a bunch of times because it's really cool to look at. And in that movie, he, for some reason, has a booby-trapped room under the opera that gets really hot and kills you with heat.
Yeah,
I'm not making that up.
Yeah,
Have you guys never been
to the opera? There's always a hot kill.
Oh
room.
Yeah, you're referring to that hot gas room that's under every opera house, of course.
And at the intermission, you can smell them. If anybody gets down there, they're like, "Oh, they got one. Phantom got one."
And that is why
in the podcast where Jordan points out how uncultured I am. Never been to the opera. Doesn't understand British pants humor.
I mean,
I'm getting roasted today.
99% of us haven't been to the opera, I think.
Listen, I wouldn't know a slasher if I was getting slashed. So we're all learning today.
The idea of you getting murdered and going, you're technically a ghost.
No, what are you? What are you? A creature?
You're a psychopomp. That's okay. What Freddy is. He's a psychopomp.
He is a fucking psychopomp. He's a, what's that thing? Oh, damn it. I can't
psychopomp. A figure who, a spiritual guide of a living person's soul. Okay, maybe I'm wrong about that.
Well, there's a thing called a tulpa. Have you ever heard of a tulpa?
Yeah, tulpas. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like a tulpa, which is like a thought form of if you fear something so much, like you can give reality to it.
I didn't know that there was a word for that.
Oh yeah. The Slender Man is maybe a tulpa. That's why he's out there making kids write weirdly horny fiction.
Yeah.
Okay, but we digress. I think the lightweight round here is who would win in a fight between. I think we got to go the Invisible Man because it's just so much lighter than the Phantom after these things.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I love the Phantom. I love the Phantom.
Okay, let's do it. Because I don't think the Phantom's going to come up again. So
also, I feel like invisibility is a huge advantage over Skeet Ulrich. I just feel like...
Wait, Skeet Ulrich has proven time and time again that he knows how to go invisible. Where is he? I'm kidding. Sorry, Skeet.
Yeah.
David Spade-style burning Skeet Ulrich is very funny.
And guys, technically, the killer in Scream is called Ghostface.
okay, got it. All right, so the question before us is who would win in a fight between the Phantom of the Opera as depicted by Universal all those years ago and Ghostface as depicted by Skeet? Who? Ulrich. Sorry, Skeet.
Well, guys, I gotta go Skeet on this one. Just
you gotta go Skeet. Somebody had to.
Man. Well, I mean, I'm always gonna be biased toward the classic monsters. I think they're great.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just don't see Ghostface getting out of that heated room beneath the opera. I mean, Ghostface falls down all the time. Ghostface says shit. That's the cool thing about Ghostface, is that it really, his humanity is paramount. He's not like Michael Myers or Leatherface. Mm-hmm. You can kind of see him mess up and have to change his mind. And
Ghostface gets kicked in the balls at one point, I believe.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Hilarious.
I used to say that was the difference. There are two genres of movies, really, when you break them way down. Movies where someone gets kicked in the balls and movies where nobody gets kicked in the balls. And Scream is definitely a kicked in the balls movie.
The best scene in There Will Be Blood is when the guy gets...
And then there's a movie like Sideways where there's a constant threat of someone getting kicked in the balls, but it never really happens, which is masterful art, really.
Yeah, I mean, riding that line between a ball movie and a non-ball movie is...
it's contemporary art in a nutshell.
You're basically telling me what my favorite genre is, which is any movie that rides that line.
That's a different part of the Jared Logan lecture series that we're happy to get into on Patreon. Yeah.
Any movie that dances on the taint like that is really...
Dancing on the taint. Yeah. With J-Lo. The one and only.
So Phantom versus the Scream guy. Well, the Scream guy has really good planning and like...
Well, and the Scream trickery. Guy, ultimately, spoilers incoming... Okay, that's a pause for anybody to leave the room.
If you've not seen a movie from 1996.
Scream, the Scream face, the ghost face, is a couple of people. Two, three people, right? Two.
Right, which is a really cool advantage to have, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
yes. Well, and while
Phantom or no Phantom.
Yeah. While the Phantom is... The Phantom, let's talk about the Phantom for a second. The Phantom obviously has a mind of machinations and plans and gears and has traps where you fall into a...
Yeah,
heated
access
room.
To strange infrastructure. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
It's constantly dropping chandeliers and shit, you know?
Truly. And like inventive in that way, in that kind of to always one step ahead of you way. I imagine this is happening at the fucking Fight Island Amphitheater where they have, you know, opera fights and big ape events.
This is a great question. And so we're saying the Phantom does have access to an opera.
I think there is I think you don't have an opera without a Phantom.
That's his main weapon is operas, you know, and opera houses. So if he's got access to his, what is essentially, you know, Ghostface, his main weapon is, I think, a butcher knife, but the Phantom's is a large proscenium stage his main weapon.
I would argue that that Ghostface's main weapon is misdirection.
I'm with you on that.
The Phantom would kind of respect. Sherman, like that kind of thing.
We have agreed that the Phantom is old timey, where Ghostface is very from the 90s, very in your
very
face.
Very 90s. There's a 90s dude under there.
Yeah, there's a 90s guy under there.
Boy, I can see.
Got that soul patch, probably.
He does.
And it did surprise us at the time. When we were like, it's multiple people. Ghostface is multiple people. That was like a fresh take, kind of.
Yeah.
And I could see the Phantom falling for it. I could see the Phantom being like, I've trapped you in my sandbag snare. And then Ghostface comes up behind him, stabbed.
Boom, right in the back.
The heart, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know what? I gotta be honest with you, like, I want to fight for just the classic monsters because they're my favorites. You know, Scream, that's 90s. It's old hat to me. But I got to say, you've convinced me that definitely is going to happen. He's going to be like, you are in my cage of musical notes. And then then another Ghostface is going to walk up right behind and just jam that knife into his kidneys. Yeah,
I think we're all on the same page. I'm gonna make an official vote for Ghostface, and partially it is because Phantom of the Opera, he's leading with these emotions. At some point, he trusts, another member of the crew. Because the twist with Scream is that it's part of the group. The group being prosecuted is the killer, and that's gonna happen with he's. And so even in Phantom, is like, he's bacon ghost faced in his little heat room, and he pulls mm-hmm. his mask off, and it's Skeet Ulrich. Matthew Lillard, knife in the back.
Lillard, no.
The thing about Ghostface is he just keeps living through psychotic right. people. Where Phantom of the Opera right. is like, he has no descendants. Is
I think we're all agreed here.
Burned off in some sort of horrific accident.
In a shocking,
his genitals were sang off.
In a short blast.
I have news for everybody.
Okay.
Nev Campbell can sing.
Okay.
Oh boy.
So that to me. means that the Phantom is super distracted. I mean, he's trying to keep Sydney alive, you know, Sydney, yeah, the lead mm-hmm. in Scream.
Oh, he and, the Phantom sure, certainly falls in love with her immediately, despite the fact that his, as Sam said, his genitals were shattered by a particularly high note at the opera one time.
And I think that that's really truly like how he's going to like bite it. Cause like, he's going to, that's the classic character of like, I just love you so much and I'm going to keep you protected and I'm going to get like offed like a second to last or something, you know?
Yeah.
I think we're all in agreement that shockingly Ghostface wins the lightweight slasher versus classic monsters round. Ding, ding, ding. Ghostface. Holy moly.
Ghostface.
Skeet and the boys. As it
all
were.
All due respect to Ghostface.
Skeet and the boys.
All due respect.
My favorite ZZ Top album.
Thank you for your service.
I met Matthew Lillard recently.
Whoa, cool.
He's really into tabletop role-playing games. He was
I knew
good.
That. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Matthew Lillard.
Serial killer is what I always think of him as. From Hackers.
Oh, sure.
You guys remember Hackers?
As the guy from SLC Punk. You remember that one?
Oh, damn. Of course.
Yeah. Can't remember his name, right. but he becomes a businessman at the end. And I remember, like, I was so into punk at the time that I was like, not me, man. And now look at me. I'm the CEO of Time Warner.
Matthew Lillard has the coolest career. SLC Punk, Scream, Shaggy and Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah.
Then he gets to be in the Twin Peaks reboot and be super into tabletop role-playing games and play a bunch of Dungeons & Dragons. That guy's awesome.
I would say a quintessential Shaggy. What, you know, outside of Casey Kasem, reinvented the Shaggy role.
After Casey Kasem, Matthew Lillard is my Shaggy.
He reinvented it. Fucking he's Heath my, Ledger
he's
style.
My Casey Kasem, which is weird.
Okay.
Who's
ding, ding,
hey,
ding.
Hey, listeners, who's your Casey Kasem? Sound off.
And you're not allowed to pick Casey Kasem.
Yeah, don't pick Casey Kasem for that.
Okay, middleweight.
Middleweight
slashers v monsters. Okay, now I'm trying to learn about slashers. I'm trying to be on point here.
Just needs to be a person.
A middleweight for me. Nah, that's a lightweight. I mean, what are y'all pulling?
What about Jigsaw?
Jigsaw's pretty good. Jigsaw's a little different. Jigsaw's I would say probably middleweight. Probably Jigsaw has the traps.
He's not Jason, but he's significant.
I was gonna suggest Norman Bates again because he's like also really great. The first slasher in movies.
Yes,
kind of.
Okay.
Kind of.
I like Norman Bates for this.
The prototypical slasher, for sure. And I think because other slasher films,
you're about to say Godzilla, aren't you?
I think because
to me, the most classic slasher of all would have to be the Cylon from Battlestar Galactica.
The Karate Kid, that's right.
Oh, God, Jared brought a gun to
Danny
the Zoom.
Danny himself.
I just start shooting my computer.
No. I think I agree with you. I think that other slashers have since surpassed, but he is the prototypical slasher, and so he's not going to get into the heavyweight round. He's certainly not a lightweight. I think Norman Bates is your middleweight slasher, unless you know somebody's coming out with another one.
Yeah, no, I like that one. I like that we're going with just my suggestions. I like
no,
that.
I like my idea. I still like it.
I like the idea that I came up with. Yeah, okay, yeah, I can see
also,
how that would work.
Also, Jigsaw is almost heavyweight to me. Mm-hmm. He's almost out of the middle in my mind.
I'll be frank about why I didn't want to do Jigsaw. Uh-huh. I really don't like those movies. Are you guys Saw fans?
No, definitely not.
Not really. I've seen the first like three.
It's kind of a genre of films that I'm not super keen on, the like gore horror porn
thing. Torture porn.
Yeah. But there's no denying. I mean, the franchise fucking popped huge with fans of Slipknot and Nightmare Before Christmas tattoos alike.
Yeah. Exactly. You the got only it. Exactly. In my high school. If you have cosplayed as Harley Quinn 5 years in a row, you love the Saw film.
You might be a Jigsaw.
Well, I think the first one is fun because it's a premise you hadn't heard yet. That's sure. What's cool. And then anything after that sucks because it's like,
yeah,
I know what Saw is now.
I'm not a fan of them. I recently watched them with Mike Carrozza.
Oh,
watched
yeah.
a Saw movie recently, and it was, I will say, it's very fun to make fun of because very serious things are happening, and you know.
Also, Cary Elwes is in the first one, and he is...
Yes, Cary Elwes!
He is maybe doing the worst Glover. Job of acting I've ever seen. Yeah.
Yeah. He's taking a paycheck. But, yeah, the Saw movies also rip off other better movies. Like,
yeah,
there are traps in the first Saw that are cribbed almost directly exactly from The Abominable Dr. Fibes, which is a much better film. There's a couple other, like, things that they sort of rip off. And then the movies, they're not very good. They're a little bit like, and sorry if I'm offending anybody out there, they're a little bit like the Fast and Furious movies to me, where the action set piece sequences or in Saw, like the kill sequences are pretty good, but then the rest of it is filled with Mad Libs writing, you know, where it's just kind of like, give me a noun, give me a verb. That's what they said here. Moving on. Like it doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
So I'm, but I mean, come on, Psycho.
Saw 10 is the Fast 9 of horror.
Oh yes. God. my nose is bleeding.
Yeah.
Okay. What about, are we going with Norman Bates for our middleweight slasher? Can anybody think of someone else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like Norman Bates.
But okay, it's the Vince Vaughn version from the Gus Van Sant remake.
No, it's the real one when it
we
actually
gotta go
happened.
With the original guy.
From the events, Ed Gein. It's the actual Ed Gein.
Now that's a topic. Real life serial killers versus classic Universal movie
slashers. God, that's really good, dude.
That would be so. Eileen Vernaus versus the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Well, listen, we're kind of leading into something like that because we got Norman Bates. What monster do you think could possibly stand up against Norman? I kind of like the creature, the Gill Man.
Yeah, me too. I was going to say for a middleweight.
Gill Man is kind of a everybody's favorite, but not in a lot, but kind of a C team. It's like when it's like when the White Power Ranger would show up. It's like, it's not often, but boy, we love this guy.
But boy, we love White Power. That's what
we love
say.
White Power Ranger.
I love the creature from the Black Lagoon. I've got a t-shirt with the creature from the Black Lagoon on it. He's one of my favorites, and I've watched all the films, and I can tell you that the best film is number two, Revenge of the Creature, where they try to put him in a SeaWorld type sea park. That doesn't work out for them. Spoiler alert. But it's got a cameo by Clint Eastwood as a marine biologist very early in the film.
Incredible.
He's in it for like 5 minutes.
Amazing.
And then really the best in terms of weirdness,
I got a diagnosis
is,
for you. 45 caliber diagnosis.
Yeah, exactly.
Shoot the creature.
Hey, listen, Doc, I got that algae sample you asked for. And then there is a movie. The final one is called The Creature Walks Among Us. And in that one, they try to save the creature's life by merging him with a human. So he's half human, half creature. And the creature walks around in a suit. I mean like a suit jacket.
Yeah.
And trousers.
Yeah. Trousers with pleats.
Yeah. And
my
that's
God,
a
pleats.
Real. You're like, you know, it's supposed to be scary. It's not really scary, but you can see how it's unnatural and shouldn't be when this creature is wearing a sport jacket.
The creature should not walk among us. That's for sure.
No,
but I think we're going classic Gill Man here. And honestly, my favorite creature, that one depicted in the Monster Squad, which had very dope kind of practical animatronic head with those fucking eyes. Ooh, very cool on the sides of its head.
That's a Fred Decker movie. Have you ever seen Night of the Creeps?
No.
You got to see Night of the Creeps.
Fuck yeah. Done.
But that guy was an awesome director who made like two or three awesome horror movies that nobody went and saw. And then then he directed episodes of Star Trek Enterprise. But you see Fred Decker movies because they're really good. And see the episodes of Star Trek Enterprise with Scott Bakula that he directed. They're quite good as well.
The creature shows up in a lot of them, I'm told.
I wish.
Bakula just going to the bathroom. The hell was that?
Monster Squad has a great Gill man. He looks real. Yeah, he looks really scary.
I just looked him up, which I've seen that movie, but I don't think I retained any of it.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Outside of a startling slur in the first 30 seconds, it's great.
Yeah.
Also, the Wolfman looks cool in that. And I think,
yeah, it's a cool, cool
I think
Wolfman.
All Wolfman kind of looked cooler in the 80s.
Yes.
That was the
practical effects.
Practical fun Wolfman.
Sure.
Practical effects are better for a Wolfman.
Michael Jackson, like this? Great Wolfman in the 80s.
Do we like this? Psycho versus the Gill Man, the movie that never was?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I like this. See, okay, so if I may, the creature often falls in love with a human woman. And what I like about this is we know that Norman Bates is going to be running around dressed like his mother.
Oh, yeah. My God. Okay, so the question before us is who would win in a fight between Norman Bates and the Gill Man, a.k.a. the creature from the Black Lagoon? That's an incredible point.
Yeah.
Because the Gill Man is going to immediately be
blonde hair.
Yeah.
Norman Bates is going to be in a kind of like a in a bathing suit for ladies. It's going to be like kind of one of those 1920s bloomers bathing suits.
I see it.
With that like bad kind of gray, you know, bun wig on. He's going to be swimming, in the Fight Island Lagoon. And then camera work from underneath. We're going to see the creature, you know, kind of following. Just in love, just, you know,
absolutely.
You know what the hell? Little animated hearts are appearing above the creature's head.
Look at those gams.
We have the budget. Let's do it. And and I just feel like the creature's going to be so disappointed when he finds out he hasn't met the love of his life.
I think the creature is going to be enraged. I think the creature, when the creature shoots a shot, one of two things is going to happen. Norman is going to spring the trap. Ah, you're dead. Right in the heart. Mm-hmm. I think the creature's a little harder to kill than that, as proven by, you know, numerous wounds that it's sustained. Mm-hmm. But if that doesn't happen, if Norman can't spring this trap and kill it immediately, and the Gill Man finds out that you are not the love of his life, but some charlatan, it's going to go bonkers on you.
I think the creature is going to go underwater. So bonkers. It's going to start using that the sound effects of it. They would always use pig noises for the creature. Pig squealing.
Whoa.
It's going to start making those pig squealing noises. And then I got to be honest, I don't feel good about Norman's odds at that point, because we've never seen him be effective in a deep water situation.
Sure.
And also, it feels like it's hard to keep your wig on. And once Norman's wig comes off, he turns back into Norman. He's no longer his mother.
Mother.
And Norman, as we know, is just a nice boy who wants to make sure you're okay. So, I'm not feeling good about Norman's odds here.
Nor I. I wonder if it's... I wonder, so we can't, I don't think we can put Norman right in the deep water in terms of just for fairness. You know, I think Norman would have to have some sort of land, maybe splashing around in the surf, that kind of thing. And I think in that situation with the knife, with the wig, Norman stands a chance. I still think ultimately I'm going Gill Man, and I don't see a reason. I don't see how Bates is going to fight his way out of this one.
I'll make a case for Bates just real quick.
Okay.
'Cause I feel like I know where we're leaning. Is say the Gill Man gets stranded, has to go to the bed and breakfast or whatever from Psycho.
Creature walks among us. He goes up with his suit coat on. He's taking a little vacation.
Where is he most comfortable? He's in the shower. He's trying to get.
He's got to go in the shower.
Underwater.
Oh no!
He's got to go in the shower.
Special
don't go in
place?
There.
Yeah,
that's wow. Yeah, okay. I think Sam convinced me, because you're right. Like, you got to give Norman his hotel, his motel. You got to give
it to
him.
You're right.
And And it would make sense that the motel would be like near the beach, but like not close enough that the creature would feel like easy access to the water. Sure. So yeah, he's got to get in that shower and wow. then it's curtains, baby. Curtains.
Curtains. Jeez, you might have just swayed me. I got, honestly, I'm giving it to Bates. That's one vote for Bates from me.
I think I still have to vote Creature from the Black Lagoon, because once he's in that shower, Norman is great at stabbing a woman who doesn't suspect it. He's a fucking lagoon right. monster. So it's like gonna, Norman starts stabbing gonna, yeah. the Creature from the Black Lagoon's like, what? Knife? Okay.
Yeah. Like, I'm a monster.
It's fair to vote for the creature, but you actually you turn me, Sam, because for having watched those creature movies, I can tell you the creature is way, way more fragile than I ever thought. Like literally in the last one, he's having some sort of lung problem, I think, which is why they give him human DNA. So yeah. I feel like he's not quite. I think as long as Norman can get that knife into the soft fish underbelly and not into those big armor plates on the back.
Yeah.
And I mean, if he can do anything with a knife, he should at least be able to gut a fish. I got to go Norman Bates for this one.
Norman Bates right. takes it. Ding, ding, yep. ding. Middleweight bout of monsters versus slashers. I see it. Honestly, I don't think Bates is getting away unharmed. I think one swipe from this, specifically the Monster Squad version of the Gill Man with those big whopping claws, is going to I think Bates walks away with like a big one of those rib wounds.
Yeah,
you can see his ribs, which is pretty. That's the worst one. You don't want that one. Okay, heavy weight bout. People have been waiting for it all year. Fright yep. Island episode yep. one, monsters v slashers. Who you got?
I mean, you could go a lot of ways here. I mean, like you could go. So heavyweights include they're all heavyweights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers, and Leatherface. All three are definitely slashers, and they're very, very tough. Like very tough, very big, you know, heavyweight killers.
Sure.
Big dude.
I like the idea of Leatherface, because in his original incarnation, he is much more true to the slasher definition that we're sticking to, which is guy. One who slashes.
I'm with you on that.
Who slashes.
Same with original Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Much more of a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Original Jason is actually his mom.
Yeah.
That's true. Original Jason has maybe one of my favorite kill scenes of all time, which is Kevin Bacon getting that arrow. Spoilers, through the neck. Also, it's a great shot because he gets the blood on the head first and he looks at it and then, what? Through the fucking neck. It's so crazy. Anyway, awesome. I kind of like original Jason. That idea is interesting.
Well, we've seen a killer, in fact we've seen a slasher killer already that's actually like multiple people or
this is true.
And we touched on mommy stuff. We've actually done we touched on mommy. The Jason things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I think no, either Michael or Leatherface is
I'm Michael Bias. That's
you're Michael Bias. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, will we get a clean fight out of you, Sam?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean,
we slip also, a gun we also to Mike
had
Myers.
We haven't had a universal victory yet.
Okay, so this has got to be a real big
Wolfman, a heavy Frankenstein, hitter. Dracula. Those are the three.
I mean, Dracula is their leader.
Dracula is the leader, but is that who you send up against Michael Myers? I mean, this feels like a Frankenstein monster.
Frankenstein, you're right.
Versus Michael Myers. That would be a sweet fucking fight.
You're right. Okay, we're locking it in. The question before us is who would win in a fight between Frankenstein's monster and Michael Myers of Halloween fame? Great. You're right. This is already terrifying.
Okay, I'm just throwing out thoughts here. Michael never uses fire. In fact, much like Frankenstein's monster, I feel like Michael Myers would be afraid of fire, or
he's caught fire before
and it's done bad things to him. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he's not going to use fire against the monster.
I also think that Michael Myers is going to learn pretty quickly that Frankenstein, unlike the Gill Man we're learning, who is a pretty fragile a hot house tomato, if you will.
Yes,
Frankenstein, you could stab all day. And I think Mike Myers is going to figure that out pretty quick. You stab a dead guy, that's just meat. You know, you're going to have to cut off some arms or something to really slow down Frankenstein.
Yeah. I think, and I also think, like, if we're doing Halloween, original Halloween, Michael Myers isn't this supernatural strong man where Frankenstein just is very strong, like,
yeah,
from the jump.
But I will.
Michael Myers does do stuff that a human could never do it for.
Sure.
Run really fast when the camera's turned.
Sure.
Yes. And jump on the hood of your car to get out of a sanitarium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, Behind the Mask?
That movie.
The Ballad
ass.
Of Legend.
The Rise Leslie of Leslie Vernon.
The Rise of Leslie Vernon. So great.
Yeah.
That is such an impressive movie for
incredible movie.
What was the budget? $80 or something? Like, yeah, it's amazing.
Damn. I wish I would have known that. I would have said Leslie Vernon as a lightweight slasher.
That's a good one.
It's a postmodern slasher classic. I like that movie.
Pomo Slackla.
It's a Pomo Slackla.
Uh huh.
Love. So, what are the other Pomo Slack class?
Idle Hands.
Let's see. Sure. Sure.
Okay.
So these guys are going to have a good fight because it turns into almost Godzilla versus King Kong. They're just
truly,
like, locked in an embrace.
Truly.
Just like,
you can electrocute them both all day. They're going to keep coming back. This is a matter of raw strength. I think it is important that Michael does have the blade. That is important. And Frank is more of a bare hands guy. And we also got to take into account Frankenstein, by all accounts. Those stitches are showing, you know, like,
you could
potentially.
Shit, you're right. He's got
aim for the
he
stitches.
Does have, yeah. And you're aiming for the stitches with a knife. That's
a knife.
Pretty good. Because I feel like stabbing him in his chest is, you're not going to get anything out of that. Like, he's undead or whatever.
Yeah,
he's basically undead. But like, if Michael Myers aims for those stitches with the knife, he might be able to unravel the Frankenstein's monster.
It's a good. I mean, it's a good tactic if he can think of it. Is Michael Myers the type who would think of it though?
That's what I'm wondering. Is
he cunning?
Is I don't know.
He's if not it, that.
I don't know. I think Michael is like kind of equally like Frankenstein dumb. Michael Myers also kind of dumb, and I think he will be confused. He will stab Frankenstein, but he doesn't understand like the concept of the undead or something.
Sure.
Like, he will stab him, be so confused that he's not dying, and the Frankenstein will just be like,
stab him
crush.
Again.
I'm voting
crush.
For Frankenstein.
You're going
you know,
Frankenstein. My vote.
It's really an unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
It really feels like one of those.
You're right, Sam. Like, he's not gonna figure out to cut the stitching because he's just relentless. That's all he is, Michael Myers.
Michael Myers doesn't know about the Universal Movie Monster canon. He has no idea.
You know, Frankenstein's monster might do like one of his super finishing moves, which he uses in several of the films, which is he just like brings the whole building down on top of you.
See,
and like,
I was
suicides for the win.
I was thinking about that same thing, which is a real, remember in Hellboy when Hellboy has Samael and they're like wrestling and he grabs the third rail and electrocutes himself to electrocute the demon. Mm-hmm. I could see Frankenstein doing that same move because I think Frankenstein, he's got lightning resistance. I think we can all agree. And
right.
I think whereas Michael Myers is but a man and lightning is one of our many weaknesses.
Nobody told me that they were fighting in the 1980s New York subway system, but that's cool.
Where are they fighting? That's important. I see this happening on a street in kind of the Halloween, on like Halloween night in a German village.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that works. Yeah. I don't know if that gives him a lot of access to electricity. But I know that if he would say this about anybody, the Frankenstein's monster would say this about him and Michael Myers. We belong dead. And then he would pull the famous ending line from Bride of Frankenstein. And then he would pull the entire building down on both of them and suicide for the win. I mean, or you might call that a draw. I don't know.
Nah, I think you're right. I think it's a clean sweep. I think we have our first Universal Movie Monster win with Frankenstein taking the heavyweight bout with a suicide for the win.
By the way, Jordan,
Michael.
Sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but Frankenstein is the name of the doctor.
End of podcast. We're done.
I thought the monster. I thought that's who we were talking about.
The doctor.
Victor, you thought we were talking about the doctor?
Genius doctor.
Oh.
Why would we talk about his terrible monster?
This is why you have to say Frankenstein's monster.
Frankenstein's monster takes the win in the heavyweight bout of this first Fright Island with, it's definitely a suicide for the win. Grabs Michael Myers. Michael Myers, the murderer, not hilarious SNL alumnus.
Yeah, not Mike Myers.
Right. They tumble into a ravine, or he brings the building down, or some other. Yeah, I think Frankenstein quite often will sacrifice himself to protect the people.
Oh yeah, he's the king of the sacrifice move. Yeah,
even absolutely. Though they reject him,
or the villagers come after him, and then they get them both that way. You know.
Oh geez, if the villagers get involved, they're going straight for Frankenstein. They want to. That's the problem with Mike Myers. They'll be like, he's just another trick or treater. Go about your way.
And then they deserve the slashing that comes.
Nobody
He's
wins.
Gonna slash all of them. So
that's
hard.
That's a real like morality tale of like they first prosecute Frankenstein, their Truly. Only protector, and then Mike Myers just has at
yep.
it.
Yep. Ding ding ding. Frankenstein takes it. Jared, thank you so much for coming to the island.
Oh, my pleasure. Are today? You kidding? I would talk about this for 9 more hours.
I would too.
Good. That's what we're doing.
The mega bout. Oh,
everybody grab a snack. We're coming back.
All right, I'm ready. Mummy Fright versus Island. Mummy versus Jigsaw. Let's go.
Ed Gein versus Pennywise. What was the one that absolutely
real
wasn't a
serial
slasher?
Killers? Real serial killers versus movie monsters is so funny.
Hell yeah, we'll have to make it happen.
You know, yeah.
Where can
the Beltway shooter
you?
John Lee Malvo versus the Jabberwocky? You can find me online at Jared Logan is my Twitter handle, and you can check out my Twitch channel where we play tabletop role playing games often with a horror theme. So we play Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that, but we also play horror themed games like Vampire, and that's called The Stream of Blood. So check that
Hell
out.
Hell yeah. Definitely check out all of those things. A great time to be had. Sam, how about you?
Follow me at VoteSamWiles on Twitter. And if you live in LA, come to Rod Stewart Live every other Wednesday at Permanent Records in Glassing Park. Record shop / bar. Extremely fun venue. And the lineups have been very good.
So, got to get out there. Awesome. It's back. Yeah. We're Rod back. Stewart Rod's Live. Back. Maybe the man himself will show up. You guys should have a table
he died,
for Rod
didn't he?
At every... like reserve a seat for Rod at every show. No, you can't sit there. That's in case Rod Stewart shows up.
We put a soccer ball on a chair and just go, it's his thing.
Shit, I'm
Rod
Razor
Stewart's
Lou.
Alive.
I know, right? They say wow. He could be out there.
He has a new album out. He has a new album out that has a very funny title. Jordan, do your plugs and I'll find this Rod Stewart album title because it's insane.
Oh, I'm freaking, I'm Razor Lou all over the place. And you know what? Shout out to our dope intro and outro song from Calvero. Go follow Calvero Sings on Twitter. And also, if you like what you heard here today, check out our Patreon. We try to do about 2 episodes every month of Scuffle Peninsula, which is kind of a miniature version of Fight Island. And who knows? We might be playing. We might be fighting some serial killers versus slashers in there today. So we'll see what happens. What did you learn, Sam?
Real quick, the album is called Tears of Hercules,
and I think that does it for another episode of Fight Island. Sam, why don't you go ahead and count us down, pal?
3, 2, 1.
All right, break it up. It's all over for Fight Island.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.